promises, and we told you that a cliche is a trite, stereotyped expression, a sentence or phrase usually expressing a popular or common thought or idea that has lost its originality, ingenuity, and impact due to long overuse. So we've talked about the various things that I think have become cliche in the Christian community. And today, I don't know what just happened. And today, y'all got to understand, I hear everything. I literally do. I hear everything. So please forgive me. And today, we're going to talk, our theme today is the judgment of the righteous. The judgment of the righteous. Now, I knew this wouldn't get an overwhelming response because it's actually sending the wrong message, but I didn't know what else to call it. You know, this isn't the judgment of the righteous like God's going to judge you, God's going to get you. We're not going to talk about that. All right? This is the judgment of the righteous because we have something that's going on in our culture where people are saying, don't judge me. Only person can judge me is God. And one of the things I've tried to get people to understand is that the believer is being judged right now. And so if you're saying that the only person that can judge you is God, then what you're saying is that you're not a believer. Because that's who God's going to judge. You know, it's like our body. Y'all do know your body judges you every day. Y'all know that, right? Your body. You can say all you want to, I identify as a fitness model. But your body's going to judge you. Okay? I identify as a professional football player, but my body, he must be the whole offensive line. My body judges me. And so we have to understand, and I want to try to deal with this whole idea of judgment and how God expects us to have, as believers, expects us to have sound judgment. And expects us to use sound judgment in our everyday life. And I'm also going to try to prove to you how you can't get through this life talking about, oh, I don't judge. Because everybody in here, let me just tell you, you made a judgment this morning. You made a judgment. This looks good on me. That was a judgment. I think I'm going to wear this today. That was a judgment. Whether or not you ate breakfast was a judgment. We make judgments all the time. And so what God wants us as believers to be able to do is to judge righteously, to judge the way he would judge, to be able to look at life through his glasses, through his lens, and then be able to apply grace and mercy to every situation as we make these determinations. And it's important that we learn to do this because there's coming a time when he's going to ask us to help him do it. I'll talk about that in a minute. So let's look at Matthew 7, a very misconstrued passage of Scripture. Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, or by your own measurement, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. First, deal with yourself. Get yourself together. Then you might be able to help somebody else get together. friend of mine preached a message some time ago. I actually used the same theme here because I thought it was such a great theme. It was a great topic. He used the message, get your ship together. Now, you got to say that carefully in church. You got to be careful how that comes out. But he said, get your ship together. And he was talking about how we all have the responsibility of getting our relationships together, of handling our relationships properly. Somebody say amen. Amen. Well, Jesus here makes this whole analogy about how can you help somebody else get themselves together when you got stuff going on in your life? And now this whole idea of the speck and the log is not really saying that your issues are bigger than theirs. It's just saying you're so focused on their issues till you can't see what's closest to you. You can't see what's really going on with you. Now, one of the things that's happened as people have, especially with Matthew 7:1, as people have dealt with this text and they've read it and they've heard it, is that there's this thought process that has developed that's basically people are saying, if I don't judge sin, then God isn't going to judge my sin. If I don't judge sin, then God is not going to judge my sin. If I never say that something's wrong, that it's sinful, then it doesn't matter what I do because God's never going to judge my sin. Now, y'all going, nobody would actually believe something like that. That sounds absolutely crazy. But there are people who actually believe it. Okay? So let's get to point number one. I'm not going to preach a long time today because for those of you that don't know, we have to go this afternoon to minister at another church. And brother hadn't had to do double duty in a while, so I don't know how good my endurance is. So I got to save something, keep something in the tank for later. Let's look at point number one. Not judging sin doesn't mean your sin won't be judged. Not judging sin does not mean that your sin won't be judged. So just because you're scared, because of cancel culture, to say, and let me just clarify this, I do not believe in cancel culture. I think that's putting lipstick on a pig. What it is it's fascism. Okay? It's fascism. When my friend Keisha can't express an opinion differently than mine without me hating her, that's fascism. That's me trying to force her into something. Now, we're not talking about having a different opinion of right and wrong. You know what I'm saying? Because one of the things we don't accept in this country is that right has always been right and wrong has always been wrong. And there's nothing you can do to make wrong right. Are you hearing me? No matter how many lies you tell yourself, you can say, listen, I'm going to go ahead and go down this road. You can say all you want to, men, I identify as a woman. I can prove to you scientifically, since everything these people say, if you try to tell them that God is love and da-da-da-da, but there is no empirical scientific evidence that God even exists. Well, guess what? I have empirical scientific evidence that that's a man and not a woman. Because chromosomes don't lie. Listen, you can go to the junkyard right now. Go to the junkyard right now. You can buy a totaled out Chevy. I got some guys I know that you can take it to. And when they get done, it'll look just like a Cadillac. They will take a Cadillac body and put it on top of that Chevy frame. They will make everything on the outside look like a Cadillac. Guess what? You still driving a Chevy. And so we can't allow our fear to keep us from doing and saying what God says to say about things that are sinful. That we can't, you know, well, if I never call it sin, then nobody will never deal with my sin. No. No. Somebody's going to deal with everybody's sin. All right. scripture. Watch this. Watch this. Do not judge. Now, on its merits, on the surface, I could see how a person would. What's wrong? You're in that tone. I know. Don't worry about it. No, it ain't. It ain't. No, don't worry about it. Just you got to learn to just, because the devil gets in the sound system. I don't care how much you test. I don't care how much me and Rock work. When we show up, the devil been playing with the sound system. So it sounds on its merits. If you read the text, it says, do not judge so that you will not be judged. And I can see how somebody would read that and think that if I never say that what you're doing is wrong, then when I stand before God, he's not going to say the stuff I did was wrong. But see, verse number two, put verse number two up, please. Verse number two clarifies verse number one. Verse number two says, for in the way you judge. Now, wait a minute. How do you start off saying, do not judge, lest you be judged? Then in the second verse you say, for in the way you judge. So in other words, there's an expectation you're going to judge. Right? For in the way you judge, you will be judged. Your judgment is going to be the judgment that's used on you. I've got a friend who is a great guy. He's a powerful preacher of the word, but he's a little dogmatic. You know, he's a little rough around the edges. He's a little dogmatic. And I told him one time, I said, my real prayer for you is that you never have any type of moral failure. And he said, why do you say that? I said, because I don't know if you're going to be able to find a whole lot of grace and mercy. I said, because your judgments are so hard. You see what I'm saying? So now, when Jesus here is talking about this whole idea of not judging so that you won't be judged, or judging the way you want to be judged, he is instructing them to judge righteously. So what is righteous judgment, and how does righteous judgment work? How do I look at something knowing that I myself have my own issues? Just because your issue is different than my issue doesn't mean my issue is any better than your issue. Just because your struggle is different than my struggle doesn't mean that your struggle is worse than my struggle. Are you hearing me? It's all sin. Now, we have a problem in our culture. You know, we don't believe that anybody sins anymore. People just, you know, they got their little quirky ways. They got their oopsies, Barb said. They got oopsies. Nobody really sins. They just oopsies. But that's not what the Bible calls them. Are you hearing me? All right. So let's look at the scripture. Here it is. Romans 14, 10 through 12. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Now, see what he's talking about here? He's talking about the wrong kind of judgment. See, if Shanae's got something going on in her life, and I know that this is not God's best for her, then I can't look at that with contempt, as if Shanae's doing something none of the rest of us have never done. Okay, you didn't do exactly that, but I guarantee you did something close. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of who?
God.
The judgment seat of God. Next verse. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue shall give praise to God. Next verse. So then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. What does that mean? This whole idea that you think you not calling sin means that your God is not going to deal with your sin, Romans says that ain't true. You're going to have to answer. You're going to have to give an account. You're going to, listen, you're going to have to give an account. How is it that you said the love of God abides in your heart, but you could not judge righteously and be compassionate to your brother or your sister? Just because they were going through something different than what you were going through. So we got, I was talking with Joel. Me and Joel went out, hung out a little bit yesterday, and we were talking. And we were talking, and somehow, I don't know how to, conversations just move the way they move. And I said to him, I said, people ask me all the time. I said, I get the question all the time. This is what people ask me, especially when they're thinking about coming to the church. They ask me, they say, well, what is your position on homosexuality? And I always say, I agree with the Bible. That's my answer. I agree with the Bible. They say, but what does that really mean? I mean, what's your position? I said, well, let me make it more clear. I agree with the Bible. Well, but I'm trying to understand. Well, go read your Bible, and you'll know exactly where I stand. But they'll press. They press. And so then I have to give them this answer. I said, here's the bottom line. I said, according to the Bible, homosexuality is a sin. I said, but let me clarify something. It is not the worst sin for the unbeliever. The worst sin for the unbeliever is that they haven't accepted Jesus. Everything else they're doing is symptomatic of the fact that they haven't accepted Jesus. Does this make sense to anybody other than me? I said, so I said, in every instance, especially in the New Testament, where the subject of sexual immorality, including homosexuality, is being addressed, guess who they're talking to? The church. The church. I said, so my message to the unbeliever is simply this: accept Jesus, no matter what you're doing. Whether you're selling drugs, like a guy I posted something this week. It said there are gonna be people in hell who never cussed, they never went to a club, they never cheated on their wife. He said, and some of them even have been baptized. He said, because none of that stuff makes you a Christian. So, this whole idea of judgment. Let's get to point number two, because I'm behind. God expects us. God expects us to use sound judgment, which means that he actually expects us to make these judgments. Huh? What? How could you say that? God actually expects us to make sound judgments, to make sound judgments about what's going on in our world and in our society. A friend of mine, we've met a couple times in person, but he's a Facebook friend, and we've been to events together, and so we've gotten to know each other a little bit. I've called him, he's called me, and he posted something the other day that his children have been going to this, supposed to be a Christian camp, I guess by the name of it. It's called, the camp was, since he put it up publicly, I can say this, the camp was called St. Nicholas. And he said his six-year-old son came home from the camp and asked him, so daddy, can a boy marry another boy? He said, now, I didn't send my son there for that. But that's what came home. He said, and he went and talked to them, and they said, well, we don't have a agenda, and we're not really, we're not pro the homosexual agenda, but we're not against it either. And so it just came up, and so we just kind of dealt with it. Now, for the don't judge people, for all y'all who say, don't judge because we don't want to put anybody under condemnation, let your kids and your grandkids go deal with that. Because, see, I don't want mine dealing with that. Amen. And it's not the school's job, it's not the government's job, or anybody else's job to put their values in my children and grandchildren. Are you hearing me? So somebody's got to make some judgments here.
And what God is upset about is that the church is sitting by going, we have to be more we have to be more tolerant. We have to be more inclusive. Let me tell you something. This whole thing is about exclusivity. The Bible is, the gospel is both inclusive and exclusive. I told y'all, Jesus is the only person who can argue both sides of the issue and still be right. The gospel is inclusive in that Jesus said, it is not my will that any should perish, but that all should come to eternal life. That's the inclusive part of the gospel. The gospel is exclusive because once you come over here, once you become a part of the body of Christ, guess what? Jesus tells you how to live. He don't ask. He says, be you. Now watch this. How can you tolerate sin when the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy? These scriptures are still in the Bible, even though preachers don't want to preach them no more. So somebody has to exercise some kind of judgment, and God expects us to exercise godly judgment. He expects us to speak up and stand up for righteousness. And it turns his stomach when you are too cowardly to say what is right. And I'm going to go one step further. You put your soul in danger of hell just by being a coward. Somebody, you got your Bible? You got your Bible? Pull up. I don't have it in my notes. Pull up Revelation 21, verse 8. Let me know when you got it. I'm going to keep talking. But you can't talk about, I love the Lord. I'm for Jesus. I'm all for the church. And you won't stand up for righteousness? You won't stand up for marriage and say that the government can't redefine something they never defined? Marriage was defined by God. He said, I created male and female, and that's it. The other 900 and something sexes came from liberals. Watch this. See, I'm going to show you being a coward. But for the cowardly. Don't get any more direct than that, does it? But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, how did cowards get put in the same category with murderers? Murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, how many of y'all have heard it? You heard them old preachers. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire. Y'all heard that, didn't you? Yeah. They ain't talking about cowards, did they? Nope. Because it's in the same passage. It's in the same passage. So God expects us to stand for righteousness. He expects us to speak up when things are not going his way. Well, we just gonna pray. You go pray. I'm gonna go fight. Cause somebody's gotta fight for righteousness. I'm the last person to downplay prayer. Prayer is important. And if that's what you call to do, pray. Here's my prayer. Lord, make my feet swift and my aim true. It's time to fight. There's a time to fight. Next, look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, 1 through 6. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor? Now, let me stop before I go any further. This is because I don't want the theological police that hear this. Oh, he's taking that out of context. Paul here is talking about Christians settling disputes without going to the secular courts. That's the context of what he's talking about. But watch how much sound judgment is needed to do this. Watch. Does any one of you, when he has a case against his neighbor, dare to go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? So are you taking your disputes to court instead of dealing with it within the church? Okay? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world. Hard pause right there. Now, let me ask you a question. If the saints are going to judge the world, how are we going to judge the world if we don't know how to have righteous judgment? See, sometimes you can listen to something and think it sounds good, and you don't realize how foolish it is until you really examine it. If the world is judged by you, are you not competent to constitute or judge the smallest law courts? Do you not know that we will judge angels? Now, he said, first he said we're going to judge the world. Now he says we're going to judge angels. How much more the matters of this life? So if you have law courts dealing with matters of this life, do you appoint them as judges who are of no account to the church? In other words, are you going to let them same courts come in and judge the matters of the church? Now, let me just tell you, the answer for the church in America is yes. 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 Because I've watched preachers change their entire theological position on very important issues just because the government says it's okay. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen. I'm talking about preachers that were standing firm for traditional marriage. And now, well, we have to be more inclusive. We have to be more tolerant. I say this to your shame. I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not among you one wise man who will be able to decide between his brethren? But brother goes to law with brother, and that before unbelievers. What is Paul communicating here? That here you are, you have God's, you're supposed to have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, if any man, what does it say, Sam, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. That's what it literally says. You lack wisdom, ask God. So if you say and you're a part of the body of Christ, you have a limitless amount of wisdom. All you got to do is ask God. But instead, you're taking counsel from the world. You want me to know how? Ask me, how do you know the church is taking counsel from the world? Go ahead, you could ask. Because she's still on that plane on that 5-hour flight. Because I'm watching. Last week I got notified that a very prominent preacher sent a letter out to all the staff members. Now, he doesn't just have a church. He has churches that he covers. He sent a letter out to every one of his churches, every one of his staff members, and said, if you want to be able to stay on staff at this church, you're going to have to take the shot.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. See, don't tell me the church ain't taking counsel from the world. Don't tell me. There was a time, if y'all want to know why, and please don't think I'm getting political. I'm just telling you the facts. Please do not, he went down that road. I talk about whatever God puts on my heart to talk about. So listen to me. If y'all want to know why we're in the shape we're in, okay, I'll say it this way so nobody can't say I didn't, you know. The more liberal party of our two-party system, the one on the left, has been working for over 50 years to end the Christian church in America. They've been working for over 50 years. They started 50 years ago trying to take tax-exempt status from the church. So now let me ask y'all something. If you knew somebody was planning to rob your house, why would you give them your address and a key?
Right. That's right. Come on.
But this is exactly what the church is doing. We just got to, you know, we don't want to offend anybody. Listen. Here's why I don't mind offending you. Because Jesus is offensive. He's offensive. And so all this stuff the church is going through, talking about we got to be more inclusive and we got to be more accepting. Jesus said this. He said, the world is going to hate you because they hate me. So the moment they start liking you, that means you're no longer aligned with Jesus. Come on, next. Where are we going? Proverbs 3:21-22. My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom or judgment and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. In other words, when you have sound judgment, people can see it. People can see the results of somebody who's exercising sound judgment. People can see the results of somebody who's not just spending money frivolously. People can see the results of somebody who's not allowing the outside world to dictate to them how they should think about things. The biggest reason they can see the result, the biggest effect of those of us who have allowed our minds to be girded about with truth is that we have peace. While everybody else is in panic mode. You know, folks was running around here when coronavirus came out. They was buying toilet paper by the case. They was buying it by the truckload. I wouldn't have wanted to be a paper product salesman during that time. You get robbed just walking down the street. People in full panic mode. And I'm like, what in the world is going on with y'all? And I literally asked somebody, what is it about this illness that y'all feel like y'all got to have 10,000 rolls of toilet paper? I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand how this works. Next. We can't help the hurting without sound judgment. You can't help anybody without sound judgment. Somebody asked me, say, why? Because without sound judgment, you can't discern that they're hurting and what they need to get over it, to get better. That's why I'm telling you all this. I don't judge. I do. I'm telling you right now, I judge. Every day, I judge. I judge every day. I judge myself, I judge my wife, I judge my life, I judge everything that's coming in my sphere of influence is going to be submitted to a judgment. I try to judge righteously, I really do. And I try to be compassionate, I really do. I told y'all the story, I was sitting in the park, they were doing this thing in the park, and I was sitting in the park, and this young man was up there leading a song or something, and I had one of those carnal thoughts, because he wasn't the most masculine guy on the planet. And so I said in my mind, And before I could even think it good, the Holy Spirit said, you don't know his story. And I repented. I said, yes, Lord. God was letting me know that was a wrong judgment. But notice he didn't tell me, don't judge. That's not what God said to me. Right. He said, that's a wrong judgment. You don't know his story. Oh, I'm trying to help y'all, man. Let's look at the scripture. Watch this. Matthew 18:15-17. If your brother sins. Now, wait a minute. In order for me to know that my brother sinned, I have to do what? I have to make a judgment. Ta-da! Woo! If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. Now watch, this is instruction on how to judge. He's giving you the instruction on how to judge righteously. If your brother sins, go to him and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. That means that if he listens and repents, it's over. You don't need to go and telescope, tell somebody new. I don't know. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. So now you went. I went to Cordray. I tried to talk to him, tried to settle it. He, let me know that he could do something to me if I don't back up off of him. So I went and hired some guys, Thug Life. I went and hired some thugs. So I go get two people. Two spiritual people. Don't go get two people that's carnal as you. Don't go get two people that's easily offended like you. And they in there, now you got two people in there egging you on. You shouldn't have let him talk to you like that, Eric. No, you got to get two spiritual people. And now we go back to him and we cover the issue again. So now there are two or three witnesses who can say that I've made every effort to settle this, to work it out, to do it God's way. Let's go. Watch this. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now, see, the reason it's gossip when you tell it to the church is gossip if you skip steps one and two. If you went straight to telling it to the church, just know you gossiping, okay? Tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, watch this. Let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. It's interesting that Matthew is writing this because before Matthew met Jesus, he was a tax collector. And so if anybody knew how the Jews felt about tax collectors, Matthew did. And so what is he saying? He's saying when the person refuses all sound judgment, I have nothing else to do with them until they get it together. Are you hearing me? One more? Next. This is it. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Let's hold it right there. Hold it right there. Now, once again, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, what do I have to do to know that somebody's caught in a trespass? I have to make a judgment. I have to be able to say, Sam is not his normal self right now. Sam is getting ready to make a decision that is going to change his life and his destiny, not for the better. And if I love him, if he's my brother like I claim he is, I should be willing to risk the entire relationship to save him. And I have. I've done that with several friends. And I've had friends do it with me. Because we recognize, here's a crazy concept. We are the body of Christ. And so when you get in trouble, you're not in trouble by yourself. The body's in trouble. You don't believe me? You don't believe me? Walk through your house without some shoes on and stump your baby toe. Listen to me. Your whole body rushes to the aid of your baby toe. I've seen people stump their toe. Their hand go to grab it. Now they're on one foot, and they know they ain't got good balance when they're on 2 feet. But they hopping around on one foot. Next thing you know, they fall and hit the head. All this happened because you were trying to rescue your baby toe. You do realize that your baby toe's only purpose is to balance your foot, right? It's got no other function. It does nothing. It does nothing special. It does nothing special. But when it's hurt, guess what? You want to do something about it. There is nothing in your mind that says, oh, it'll be all right. Nope. Nope. I got to do something about this. My wife, funny story. When my son was young, he loved basketball. So for Christmas one year, my mother gave my son a basketball hoop. Now, we lived in Ohio. It's December. What's he going to do with a basketball hoop in December? Lady, couldn't you have waited till like May to bring this basketball hoop? My son wanted the basketball hoop put together right then. Daddy, Grandma bought me a basketball hoop. Can you put it together? I said, where am I supposed to put it? Now, at this time, we had these really high cathedral ceilings in our house, and I had gotten rid of all the furniture, so we didn't have any furniture in the living room. So on Christmas morning, my son came out, and the basketball court was set up in the living room. And it was the greatest Christmas of his life. He looked at me and said, Daddy, I can play basketball in the living room? I said, you sure can. And he went to work. So a few months go by, he's still playing basketball in the living room. A couple months go by, and I come home one day, and Carol's limping. And I said, what happened to you? She said, your son was talking junk, so I wanted to show him that I could ball. So she got out there trying to play basketball with him and walking around now with a broken toe. Listen to me. And she told me, she said, when she hit that toe, the world stopped turning. Listen, there are no unimportant parts of the body of Christ. One hurts, we all hurt. And so you have to be willing to make the necessary judgment so that you can rescue your brother. Rescue your sister. And I'm telling you, a lot of times it could mean that you're going to lose a relationship. Because when people are in deception, last thing they want to hear is truth. Are you hearing me? Is that it? Got another one? Okay, go. Bear one of those burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. When we help each other, when we care about each other, we do right by each other, guess what? We're fulfilling the law of Christ. Isn't that something? I can fulfill the entire law by loving Shanae. She don't make it easy, but I want to fulfill the law. So that wasn't the Lord right there? Okay. See what I go through? See what I go through, Keisha? You ain't never been to a church like this. I know you haven't. Never been to a church like this. So listen. Don't be one of these people walking around here talking about, I don't judge. Tell the truth. God is teaching me to judge righteously. God is teaching me to have righteous judgment. Because with righteous judgment comes compassion. With compassion comes miracles. Go study it. And almost every instance where Jesus did a miracle, here's what you find. And Jesus being moved with compassion. He made a judgment. It moved his compassion. What did he do? He responded. Let's make something happen here. Are you hearing me? Father, we certainly thank you for your word. We recognize, Lord, that your word comes to reprove us. It comes to shape us. It comes to mold us into the image of your dear son, Jesus. Father, I pray for each and every person here that we would exercise sound judgment, the judgment of heaven, and that we would care for one another, that we would be compassionate towards one another, that we would be compassionate to the world around us, so that when people come in our sphere of influence, they feel the warm embrace of the Almighty. We give you praise for it now. In the matchless name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Cordray, you ready? Next Sunday? Okay.
Amen, amen. Let's give the man of God a hand.